veteran
and his emotional support Canadian
scream into the void about the Mormon Church. If you want to reach us, we are on Instagram at NotSoPeterPriesthood.
And you can email us at NotSoPeterPriesthood@gmail.com.
Thanks for joining us. Enjoy!
Bye!
All right. The amount of joy that Dusty had when I told her that it was not a bad thing that we were... She was like, what are we talking about today? Like, all nervous. And I was like, ah, not a bad... She's like...
Oh. I preemptively scheduled therapy for Tuesday, so... I was like... But maybe I won't even need it. That's fine. That's fine. Yeah. How are you?
Good. How are you? You got your coffee.
I got coffee. Got my dogs chasing squirrels outside. Well, did you see my story on Instagram from last night? I think I'm really funny. The squirrel hanging from my pergola upside down by his toes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We were sitting at the dinner table, and my husband goes, what the? And we all looked out the window, and this squirrel is full-on Mission Impossible, upside down, his little tail's, like, wrapped around the rafter into the bird feeder, and he's just like,
aww.
I was like, what are you doing? Anyway, so I took a video, put it on my stories with the music from Mission Impossible, because I think I'm really funny.
That's amazing.
I know. It was good.
I didn't know they could do that. So acrobatic.
None of us did either. We were all just staring at it like, oh. And then he like slipped a little bit and like grabbed. And I was like, oh. Ethan Hawke almost fell. now that squirrel's named Ethan Hawke.
Ethan Hawke's an actor.
Oh, what's his name?
Ethan. What's his name?
See, I'm not good with names, right? Ethan, Agent Ethan something.
Now I gotta know.
Sorry. If I just was smarter and didn't just say things.
Hunt. Ethan Hunt.
Hunt! See, I knew it started with an H.
Yeah, you were right. But,
yeah, sort of. I was halfway there.
You were close. You're so close. Hawk. Hunt.
Hawk. That's right. You're true. You're true there.
I'm true, yes.
You're true there. Hi!
Just like apparently the church is true or whatever that is, they say.
I had like 2 hours of sleep last night. I'm doing great. Thank God that podcasts are not a visual medium because I'm saving it all right now from how rough I look.
Yeah, I get to enjoy it.
Sorry about your luck. I'll just wear like a cartoon mask of like names. That guy with the muscles, I don't know. Henry Cavill. Is that his name?
Henry Cavill?
Whoever he is, I don't know. Don't you like him?
I do, but why aren't you...
Because I got 2 hours of sleep last night. I'll take a cardboard cutout of his face and I'll just put it on my face and then you'll be like hanging off every word that I say.
Yeah, but, yeah. Totally. Mm-hmm. There's this thing going around of like, would you rather have a night with Henry Cavill or go to a concert of Kylie Minogue? And I was like, you know, and a lot of people are like Henry, of course. And then other people are like, well, I could just go to Kylie's concert and find a Henry Cavill lookalike, you know, like,
yeah,
that's fair.
That's plus more.
I mean, yeah, as much as I dream of Henry Cavill, I'm also like aware that he is not gay. So
yeah. He's having a baby, isn't he? Oh, sorry. Was that? Should I not? I'm sorry.
Yeah, why?
Does that hurt? Sorry.
Stuff that is like.
I'm like a really mean person, apparently. Come here, guys. Sorry, I gotta let my dogs in before they terrorize the neighborhood. Ethan the squirrel.
Ethan and Kevin.
Ethan and Kevin, get out of my bird feeder.
All right, listeners are probably like, okay, what are we talking about? But a good segue is that Henry Cavill is not gay, but you know who we're going to talk about? The gay community, well, the queer community in all the acronyms and everything. But so before we started recording, and I told Dusty to shush because she was getting ahead of it,
because I feel like they're different in Canada and US. Like, they all have the same thing, but they're in different order.
No, it's all the same. It's all... It's the same in the, like, okay. The definitions aren't ever going to change. Like, that's the thing that's going to stay the same. But I think maybe the difference is that your government recognizes more people than what America does. So more identities, more gender, more orientations. They recognize that probably more. I don't know. And actually, the site that I got is from Canada. So because I feel like it is more expansive. Like, it's more... it recognizes more of the different orientations and identities. So, but we're talking about obviously the LGBTQ plus community, but in Canada, and actually a lot more people, even in America, are more recognizing this acronym is 2SLGBTQI+. So, but
which I love.
And we also, yeah, me too. We wanted to talk about this because it's Pride Month coming. Well, for us, not yet, because we're recording early, but like...
Oh, yeah. It will be. When this comes out, it will be June, won't it?
Yeah.
That's, and we're ahead of the game.
Yeah, no, we're great.
We're usually playing catch up, but this is good. I know, good.
we've been good. Look at us go. Yeah, it should be. Yep. Mm-hmm, yep. Should be June 5th, listeners. That's what it should be right now for you. But for us, it's not. So we're speaking to the future.
We're speaking to the future. I love it.
But yeah, the 2SLGBTQI+. This is from Canada.ca. Anyway, I don't know what...
Aw, you're using my country's website. I love it.
Well, it's, yeah, the government of, and it's under the Women and Gender Equality Canada, and then under that is this website that has all the terminology, glossary, and common acronyms. 2SLGBTQI+ terminology is continuously evolving. As a result, it is important to note that this list is not exhaustive, and these definitions are a starting point to understanding 2SLGBTQI+ identities and issues. Different 2SLGBTQI+ individuals and communities may have broader or more specific understandings of these terms. So what is 2SLGBTQI+? It is the acronym used by the government in Canada to refer to the Canadian community. 2S as the front recognizes two-spirit people as the first 2SLGBTQI+ communities. L is lesbian, gay, G gay, B bisexual, T transgender, Q queer, I intersex, consider sex characteristics beyond sexual orientation, gender identity, and gender expression. Plus is inclusive of people who identify as part of sexual and gender diverse communities who use additional terminologies. So the internationally recognized acronym is actually LGBTI, which I didn't know.
Oh.
Former acronym of the that is used by Canada is the LGBTQ2.
Yeah, so, it used to come at the end, right? Yeah.
But I did want to express that two-spirit, let's just get into that real quick.
Yeah.
Two-spirit is different from, it's transgender, not, those are completely two different things. And I think people get those they get them confused. They think, why are we putting two-spirit with transgender when, and like, why are we separating them? Because they are separate. Like, they're not
separate. Yeah, they're completely different identities. Yeah.
Two-spirit is an English term used to broadly capture concepts traditional to many indigenous cultures. It is a culturally specific identity used by some indigenous people to indicate a person whose gender identity, spiritual identity, and or sexual orientation comprises both male and female spirits.
Mm-hmm. Which I think is such a beautiful, like, if you think about it, somebody who has, like, all of that inside of them seems such a more... It seems more spiritual to me than just, I don't know, it's just such a beautiful concept to think of. Like, they incorporate everything inside of them. Like, isn't there that poem of, like, the universe is inside of you? I can't remember who wrote it, but that's what it makes me think of having the whole spectrum inside of your body. It's very cool.
So let's see. And I also like this, I think we've talked about it before, but there's this, let's see. Of course, I'm the myth, the creation myth of two-spirit people and two-spirited people is that two spirits had a communal role to embody the physical and spiritual worlds. Two spirits had a communal role to embody the physical and spiritual worlds and act as a bridge between the two to heal others in their community. Creation stories such as Arrow Young Men, Creation of the World, cement the spiritual power and responsibility of two spirit individuals. So the what I know of it is that there was like a tree. For some indigenous cultures, two spirit people emerged at the time of creation. And this was from this is where I got it. It was from the episode on Getting Curious with Jonathan Van Ness, where they talk about the creation story of the Wabanaki people. The story tells the hero Glooskabe. I'm probably fucked that up. A hero who shot an arrow at the brown ash tree, cutting both the tree and this tree spirit in half. The spirit now had two parts and agreed to be transformed into people. After Glooskabe breathed into the tree, the first Wabanaki woman and man emerged, and after that, Neptune explained there was just a little bit of each essence left over, so Glooskabe recombined them and sent the first two-spirit out of the tree. So in our tradition, we haven't been separated from ourselves. This is hardly the only story within Native communities. Contemporary two-spirit indigenous LGBTQ people turn to these stories to remember the gender variance has always been a part of Indigenous traditions. All right. Which I think is incredible. And also, they were seen as like wise people. Like they were seen as their like, a bridge between the spirit world and our world. Like they were they were able to walk both planes and like they were able to, they went to them for guidance.
Yeah, they were seen as like a more like a spiritual conduit almost to their communities.
Concepts of gender vary across indigenous communities, which are as diverse as the lands they inhabit. Native nations had and have distinct names for what we call trans or queer people today. The Diné Navajo term is, oh my goodness, I'm going to just fuck this up, Nadlihe, meaning one who transforms. Among the Lakota, the term is Winkte, sometimes translated as to be as a woman. There are multiple terms in the Cree language, such as Ishwaikon. Sorry, listeners, if I'm fucking this up. One who acts, lives as a woman, and Napekon, one who acts and lives as a man. In most cases, these identities were linked to social roles rather than biological sex. Historically, the people holding these identities took on esteemed positions as ceremonial leaders, warriors, storytellers, and healers. Let's see what else.
And I think it's important to point out that this is an indigenous cultural thing. Like a white person cannot claim to be two-spirited because the word two-spirited in English doesn't really translate what the meaning of what it means in their culture. And so there's been people who have claimed it, and it's problematic because they're not part of that community. They are not part of that practice, that tradition. And so it's very important to respect the term and only apply it to people who are indigenous because of it's their thing.
Yeah.
Just throwing that out there because there's been people that have like tried to claim it and they're like, you speak English and it's not an English term and there's no way to like explain it outside of the culture really. So yeah, so just to throw that out there, like, please don't any white people start claiming this because it's not your thing.
let's see. So I don't know if you had more. I like that, though. I didn't realize that. I mean, I would never. I listened to this when I was doing my in one of my classes. We listened to this speaker who did like a kind of a TED talk that was, and they identified as two-spirit and like explaining how it was cultural and how it was and it was interesting to like see how they express themselves, and like and they talked about the oh man, I'm gonna fuck this up. It's been a long time since I've listened, but from what I remember, they were talking about like the kind of the, what am I trying to say? You know what? I'm going to delete that because I'm going to.
Fair. Yeah. Because it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more in depth than just like gender variance. It's a spiritual thing that is part of their culture.
Right.
It's not just, yeah, it's not like an umbrella term, and it doesn't really translate, I guess, is all I'm really trying to say.
Mm-hmm. Well, is I think a huge difference too is that they have both the female and male within them, whereas like transgender, usually it's like a biologically male, but like feeling like a female in your body, like like spiritually or
where two spirit people are both genders.
Yeah.
And have that inside of them. Yeah. That's why they're separated from transgender people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. So, I don't know how else to, okay. I really didn't think how we would present this very well. So gay, gay is like an easy one to think of because it's a person who is sexually and or romantically attracted to people of their same sex or gender identity. Traditionally, this identity was reserved for men, but it's been adopted by people of all gender identities. I guess another thing to talk about is that orientation and identity are completely different things. So sexual orientation and gender identity are separate. They're not the same. Like people tend to, and I think a lot of like the hatred and like these things that are like the phobias that are coming out and like the legislation that's coming out is because people don't understand it.
Yeah. They're uneducated about the meanings. Yeah, for sure.
And they think that you can just become gay or that you can just suddenly identify as whatever.
And people think that sex and gender are the same thing. They're not understanding the nuance of like, those are two separate things. And that gender identity is a man-made creation to put us all in boxes so that we behave a certain way in society.
It's a social construct, for sure. Yeah,
thank you. That's the word I was looking for. Social construct. Totally the same thing.
Let's see. So, and actually, gender identity, according to this, was... as a concept was popularized by John Money in the 1960s. And he founded the Gender Identity Clinic at Johns Hopkins University and formulated, defined, and coined the term gender role, and later expanded it to gender identity and role. The ancient world had no basis of understanding gender as it has been understood in the humanities and social sciences for the past few decades. The term gender had been associated with grammar for most of history and only started to move towards it being a malleable cultural construct in the 1950s and 60s. That's wild that it's that's not even that long ago.
Yeah.
So these people that are saying, oh, gender, you know, your gender is like... you are who you are, you know, like the, and just like the church says, you know, even the family proclamation, how it's like.
You are who you were in the previous life. Okay. Yeah. Sure. And it always drives me crazy when people are like, oh, we're having a gender reveal party. I'm like, you don't know what that child's gender is.
Yeah.
You can have a sex reveal party.
Yeah.
That's fine. But you're not having a gender reveal party. You're having a sex reveal party. They are separate things.
Yeah.
I don't know. People can't say the word sex without getting squeamish, though, apparently. So.
Yeah, it's true. Also, it feels, probably does seem like people will be like, oh, you're grooming your child. Well, you kind of are grooming your child, actually, when you do that. So
to be more open-minded and to, like, when you go to an ultrasound, they don't ask you if you want to know the gender of your child. They ask, do you want to know the sex of your child? I have never had a doctor or an ultrasound technician or anybody say, do you want to know the gender of your child? It has always been the sex. That is the proper medical term for what they are telling you, which organs your child is presenting with.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Let's see. So on that note, the intersex
oh, yes.
term is an umbrella term to capture various types of biological sex differentiation. Intersex people have variations in their sex characteristics, such as sex chromosomes, internal reproductive organs, genitalia, and or secondary sex characteristics, like muscle mass or breasts, that fall outside of what is typically categorized as male or female.
Yes. So the term they used to use is we do not use this, but it's hermaphrodite, right? Mm-hmm. And the reason we do not use that is because that term only actually applies to the animal kingdom, because it applies to animals who can reproduce either way. Like, there's frogs that can change their, they can
spontaneously change their, gender or sex.
Yeah. So if there's a bunch of male frogs and there's no females, one of those frogs will change and use the ability to have eggs and continue the, they are called a hermaphrodite.
It's a way to survive.
Animal.
It's a survival. Yeah.
The reason we don't apply that to humans is because they cannot do that. They may have both sets of organs, but they don't reproduce with them. I think that they're sterile. I could be wrong. I should probably look that up. But I don't believe that intersex people can reproduce. So they are not considered the same as in the animal kingdom.
Oh. Interesting. See, and that's something I didn't know.
Yeah, that's why we've changed the term. Like, it is a derogatory term to use when you're speaking about a person. But there's also, a scientific reason why we don't use it either. Is because it doesn't apply to
humans. So I just Googled it. According to PlannedParenthood.org, many people who are intersex can get pregnant, while people who are intersex may have differences in their anatomy, chromosomes, and or hormones that can impact their ability to get pregnant. Mm-hmm. Many intersex people have ovaries and or testes that can produce eggs or sperm, which can lead to a pregnancy. However, this other side...
No, thank you for correcting me, because I wasn't 100% sure on that.
But it also, it says it depends on their anatomy. So, for mm-hmm. example, if an intersex person has both ovaries and a uterus, they may be able to get pregnant on their own. However, if they have testes, they may produce too much testosterone, mm-hmm. which can make it difficult to conceive. In this case, a doctor may recommend removing testicular tissue or hormone therapy to improve the chances of ovulation and pregnancy.
Yeah, and it used to be that if this happened, the doctor would say to the parents, do you want them to be a girl or a boy? And they would perform a surgery after birth, and the parents would choose the sex of the child, regardless of how the child may feel internally or, you know, their chromosomes or whatever. So it's come a long way, thankfully, but we still don't know. Like I said, I just screwed up and said that I thought that they were sterile. So there's so much more that we need to learn.
Yeah, we're still learning. That's the thing. That's what I like about what they said on this site, is that these things and these terms are still evolving, and mm-hmm. the more we learn. So
yeah, exactly.
And they're changing. Like you said, we used to call them hermaphrodites, and now we don't do that because that's not the correct term.
It doesn't apply. And it's derogatory to call somebody something that only applies to animals. I mean, I call people ass all the time, but.
So it's interesting because I just scrolled up and it says homosexual is no longer in common use, which is funny because I actually don't use it that often.
Yeah, I always feel weird saying homosexual. I feel like it's a dated term. Yeah, it's a dated term that doesn't actually.
Because it's been used so derogatively that it's like kind of.
It's all the jokes of like the no homo stuff and all of that that makes me feel kind of icky inside. So yeah, I try to not.
They say that the term homosexual has fallen out of favor as it is associated with the historic medical understanding of same-sex attraction as a mental illness.
It brings up those feelings of like, mm-hmm. you know, pray the gay away and being sent away to conversion therapies and.
Yep. Yes. And when I was more active on Twitter, it was, and dealing with those Desnats, they used it that way in like a derogatory, homosexuals and like sinning. And I'm like, okay, whatever, call me. Okay.
You're like, all right, I'm just gay. That's fine too. Like, yeah.
Any other ones that you want to, that's off the top, let's see, non-binary. That's one that I don't fully understand. So
Let's talk about that one. Yeah.
Referring to people whose gender identity, I'm learning more about it. And I think it's interesting because the more I learn about it, the more I'm like, that actually it makes so much more sense, because it's like the binary is also a social construct.
Yeah. And I like that it's genderqueer kind of falls under this as well, where it's not, you're not solely male or female. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of people get pushed into the transgender mm-hmm. part of it, and that's not it. Like, they're not transitioning to a different, they just don't align with male or female.
Right.
And you can hear it, like, people use like gender fluid, or mm-hmm. they're all kind of the same thing.
And androgynous, let's see. So this says, referring to person whose gender identity is not aligned with a binary understanding of a gender, such as man or woman. It is a gender identity which may include man and woman, androgynous, fluid, multiple, no gender, or a different gender outside of the woman-man spectrum.
Right. Yeah. So the difference between the two-spirit and a non-binary is the two-spirit is an indigenous term that is only in their society, and non-binary is like a everybody else, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, because they're not actually, like, a lot of people say, well, it's the same thing, and it's actually not. It's more in depth than something that we don't fully understand from that culture, and should probably talk to somebody, but it's not their job to educate us. So.
Right.
But I love the concept of the non-binary, of not being beholden to the societal norms of what you're supposed to be or how you're supposed to act or feel inside of your body. I think it's mm-hmm. a really beautiful concept of just being you, and it doesn't matter, you know?
Yeah. Yep. And you can be non-binary and look completely like still express your gender expression could still be like very masculine or feminine mm-hmm. or whatever, but mm-hmm. it's more of like a self. It's like in like how you feel about yourself.
Yeah, it's your own identity. Is Jonathan Van Ness, does he identify, or sorry, they? See, I screwed up.
I think
up
it's
everything.
He, they. I think so. You're
is
fine.
Is it he, they? Okay. Does he identify as like gender fluid?
Oh, that's a good question. I think I used to.
I love that they always wear like dresses, but has a beard. Like, it just is such a beautiful, almost like a fuck you to society of like, I will wear what I want and I will look the way I want. And I love that. I love that. Like, anytime my little guy has been bullied for wearing a dress, I pull a picture up of Jonathan Van Ness and say, look at this beautiful person mm-hmm. who's wearing a dress, but has a beard and long hair. And it just, mm-hmm. it gives my little boy this like, oh, he's cool. I'm cool. You know, because he doesn't get bullied.
He uses it, and I'm saying he because it's on here, but he uses they, them, he, him, and she, her. So,
perfect.
But I feel like I remember an episode where he did say he, they, just to kind of like keep it easy mm-hmm. for the person that he was talking to. But they identify as non-binary.
Yeah. And I feel like if you're coming to them speaking in a non, you know, threatening way and not being disrespectful, using the incorrect pronoun is so much, people are trying, at least mm-hmm. we're trying to be respectful, right? We're and not using the wrong pronoun to be malicious.
Yeah.
I know people that I have slipped and use the wrong pronoun. One of my very, very good friends that I've known since childhood, I have slipped, and they were like, but that's how you knew me, and mm-hmm. that's okay, and you're trying, and you go out of your way. And I was like crying, like, thank you for not being mad at me. You know?
Yeah.
So I think as long as people are being respectful and trying, it's okay if you screw up. Like, we screw up all the time. I just did. And so it's good to
learn. It's like learning a new language. Like, you're gonna slip up, you know, like, so it's I think it's completely fine. And it's just like, so if you go to a new country mm-hmm. and you're trying their language and you slip up, they're going to be just happy that you tried.
Unless you go to Montreal, then they'll mock you.
Oh, really?
If you try and speak French in Montreal, they'll be like, oh, and they'll just speak English to you. Like, super like, oh, don't even try.
Oh, yeah.
Except for my one friend. She's lovely and she would never do that. She always helps me with my French because she's amazing and I love her.
So I guess gender fluid is also in there as a person whose gender identity varies over time and may include male, female, and non-binary gender identities. So they can like kind of switch whatever they feel, you know?
Yeah, because maybe at one point of their life, they're feeling very feminine. And so they go by she, her. And then it's something, you know, hormonally shifts. And they're like, you know what? I really don't feel that way in my body anymore. Like, that's the beautiful thing, is you don't have to adhere to a construct.
Yeah.
I say we do away with genders anyways, but
I agree. And a lot of things, so talking about like the history of it, like the whole thing of like men were, boys are blue, girls are pink, you know, that actually didn't used to be the, like, it used to be not even
boys
a thing.
Used to wear pink, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah, historically. Yeah. Boys wore pink and dresses. Mm-hmm. Until they were like hitting puberty.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Because it's easier to change a diaper when you're in a dress. Just saying.
So the term queer is something that I've, so for the long, I usually use it as an umbrella term to, like, so I don't have to say 2SLGBTQI plus, you know, all the time.
Yeah.
But I think that might be a little dismissive now that I'm like learning more. Is like, it's just like, it's easier to say, but it's also just like, it's because there's people that are in those that don't identify as queer, you know, like that's not how they feel.
Yeah.
So I don't, but, and
like,
also,
I don't think I've ever stated that I would be, like, I would say I'm bi. I don't think I would ever say, like, queer. Maybe in a joking, funny way, like, we've been like, we're queer and we're here or whatever, right? But yeah, I think it is dismissive to how much is in the terms. I mean,
the nuance of it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and historically, it's a, like, a derogatory term, so, and for the longest time, I didn't like it, because, but it's also, like, taking that back, and, like, taking...
Well, it was a mean playground word to throw around, like, oh, that's so gay, oh, you're queer, like... Yeah. You know, I remember as, like, a young child hearing that on the playground and not really even understanding what it meant, but knowing it was a bad thing.
Yeah. But you can, I mean, here it says you can, like, use it as, like, a, like what I do, to include the many diverse identities not covered by the common acronym.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, like, problematic to do that, but some, like, you know.
And I like to say the queer community. So
yeah.
That they understand I'm talking about a whole group, not just, yeah.
Right, yeah.
Which I think is important, too. Everybody needs a seat at the table.
That's right. And then questioning, which is something that I think is a term that doesn't get used very much, but is a person who's uncertain about their sexual orientation and or gender identity.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be a transitory or lasting identity. So you can be, it could be just that you're just like, I don't even know. And I'm just in this space where I don't really want to land yet, you know?
Yeah. Which is fair, because there's so much that comes with, like, learning about yourself and knowing who you are internally. And I feel like, especially coming from a high demand religion, you have been molded into who you are, that, you know, it's okay to question. Coming out of that brainwashing, it's fine to be in a questioning space. I think we all kind of, not even necessarily with, like, gender or sexual orientation, just who am I am as a cellular being.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do I do things because I believe that there's good coming for me if I do good things? Or am I just solely a good person because I feel like humanity needs good people?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. No, and it's because we came from such a rigid, like, binary way of thinking, it's like, I do, it's like this whole world is opened up, you know, and you just kind of, but it's... It's easy to get lost in that and be like, I don't know where I fit in, but the beauty of it is that you can fit in anywhere.
Mm-hmm. And it's a really beautiful community of acceptance and love. Mm-hmm. Like, my friend and I, we're getting t-shirts that say, you know, free mom hugs for Pride Month, because, aww. Yeah, because we're moms. It feels weird to be like, oh, I'm a mother. Like, I'm a child in a grown-up's body. It's very strange. To go to Pride and to be standing there as a mom and saying, I will hug you as a mom and give you that unconditional love that your parents should have given you. It's such a beautiful community that we are trying to build where there's acceptance and you don't have to fit a box.
That's right.
I like that.
Yeah. Let's see. Because we can talk about transgender too. So, and I actually want to dive more into this in another episode, but that's probably going to be our next episode. But a person whose gender identity differs from what is typically associated with the sex they were assigned at birth.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the also terms that go along with that, the AFAB, so assigned female at birth. And mm-hmm. a lot of even like non-transgender, like you don't have to identify as transgender, but if you would identify as non-binary, but like you don't want to necessarily, you know, female doesn't fit, you know, or male mm-hmm. doesn't fit, but you were assigned female at birth. Mm-hmm. So like people use that to kind of explain a little bit more, like AFAB or AMAB.
Mm-hmm.
But
I think that's cool.
Yeah.
I was getting documents together for passports, and even on official government passports for my children, it said male, female, other. And I thought that was a amazing. Huge step of like,
yeah.
Anybody 16 and under has the ability to not have to be confined to a binary.
I love that.
Yeah, me too.
Also, the term transsexual is no longer used. That's another one that like is kind of a... it implies that the physical transition is necessary in order to claim a trans identity.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to necessarily like, and I, a lot of people get, especially when you first are like learning about transgender, it's like, oh, what have you had done? You know, and that's something you can ask, you know, like you just,
nobody's
you don't
business. Like,
yeah,
that's exactly. Like asking somebody what color their nipples are. Like it's not your business. You don't need to.
Yeah.
No.
And it's funny that the people that hate the most are the ones that are so obsessed with that. Like they're so worried.
They want to look under everybody's skirt and see what parts you have. Like the people who think the most about reproductive organs are the people that are the ones that are so angry about it. Like
mm-hmm.
just let it go. Why are you so obsessed with what people have under their clothing? It's so strange to me.
Yeah. There's no reason for that. Like, and they call the queer community, the perverts. And
and I'm like, but you're the one that won't leave people alone. Like, imagine if these assholes had somebody coming up to them every single day and screaming, I need to see if you have a tattoo on your ass cheek.
Yeah.
Like, it's nobody's business. If you have a tattoo on your ass cheek, congratulations. Yeah. You're probably very interesting to look at naked, but like, it's nobody's business.
Exactly.
Like, so- you know, it drives me crazy that they're so obsessed with something that's none of their business.
Mm-hmm. Where'd that go? There's the thing. So, for some reason, gender dysphoria is, like, not in the right spot on this website. So, but gender dysphoria goes...
I'm commenting on my tattoos now, so...
Do you have one on your ass cheek? Is that appropriate? No, just kidding.
I always wanted to get like a My Little Pony cutie mark. Like, really funny, but no, I do not currently.
Currently.
You never know what could happen. A lot of sure. You know what? A lot of my tattoos are I had money and time to kill. So.
So, gender dysphoria is a medical diagnosis often required by health providers and or health insurance plans before prescriptions for hormones or gender-affirming surgeries will be provided. It can be understood as discomfort or stress experienced by a person who feels their sense of their gender identity differs from their body based on societal expectations.
I don't like that term, because if you think of body dysmorphia... Sorry?
Kind of going out of favor. Like, a lot of people aren't even... So I don't know.
Because it seems so negative of like if I have body dysmorphia, I see a giant fat person in the mirror, but I'm actually a thin person. So it leads to like a mental thing of like them being wrong. Mm-hmm. And I don't like the connotations of that. Like that seems very It feels very, very conversion
therapy. Guilt and shame driven to like, oh, you're not right. You know,
yeah.
So it's,
yeah. Thank you. Yeah. That's exactly what it brings up, the feelings of there's something wrong with their brain. And so that's why they're experiencing this rather than
which is exactly what the language around being gay was for a long time. It was a mental illness.
A mental illness, yeah.
And that you were experiencing this dysphoria that you didn't understand, and and then you've got Dallin H. Oaks, who's doing conversion therapy at BYU, and still won't admit that he did that. But anyway,
even though there's receipts, sir. Yeah, there's receipts. Just like be honest. For you know, for a freaking church, it's like, oh, you must be honest in all your dealings, but not us.
No, not us.
We don't have to be honest. You have to be honest.
Yeah.
You give me your money.
Ugh. Oh, I have a. Dang it, I've had this side quest, but but first, maybe it can be like an ending thing, just to kind of like bring it anyway, or maybe I can just no. Anyway. So asexual is another one that I think a lot of people don't understand very well. And it's usually called ace, like for short, but it's a person who lacks sexual attraction or interest in sexual expression. An asexual person's sexual and romantic orientations may differ, like biromantic asexual, and they have sexual and or romantic partners. So you can be ace and have a romantic partner, but they just, there's just no, it's not that they're like not interested. Like I met, there was someone in the Navy that I knew that she identified as asexual. And it was, I think for her, a lot of it was trauma based, but so that can happen that way. But it's, she said like, I still have sex, but I just don't, it's not the way I like, it doesn't fulfill me the way that it does for everybody else. So
right. Like, I know a couple where one in the partnership is asexual. And so they have a sexual relationship, but then the other partner does things for the asexual partner that fulfills them in a different way. And so I've never asked because, again, it's none of my business.
Right.
But they make it work. There's something that that person needs. And so their partner fulfills it for them because that person is fulfilling the need for the sexual component for the other partner. And it's such a beautiful I think that's how all relationships should be, like just give to your partner what they need, meet them where they are and what they require from you, right?
Yeah. And if you're aware enough, like that also plays into like emotional intelligence of like being able to recognize who you are enough to be like, yes, I'm asexual and this is what I need to fulfill me. And your partner better
and I think it's a beautiful story for all of us to take into our own really, you know, my husband will come home from work and he'll see that I'm haggard and he will scoop up our five-year-old and be like, we are going to bed, buddy, let's go, and he just carts him up and takes care. That's him fulfilling me in a way that is completely not sexual. He's not expecting anything from, well, maybe he is. But you know, that is a partner that is in tune with their spouse, that understands that there is some need needing to be filled and that they can do that for their partner. And I think we all need to learn that if we're in, whether we're in relationships or not, romantic or not, friendships go the same way. You see your friend struggling, you give to them what they need in that moment, right?
Yeah.
So.
Let's see. So another one that gets kind of confused is the pansexual. You know those stupid jokes where like, oh, a pansexual sees a pan and is all turned on. I'm like, that's, you're dumb.
That's weird. That's super
anyway,
weird.
Anyway, there's memes about it and I just like, you're stupid. Anyway, so it's
although I do use the term polyjamorous because my playlist is all over the place.
Oh yeah.
I like everything.
Girl, I was listening to Taylor Swift and then Sleep Token.
Yes.
Like
that happens to me a lot. Or it'll be like Chantal Kraviazic and then Bad Omens. And I'm like, well, I am so what is happening?
So pansexual is someone who finds themselves attracted to people from all the different genders. So they're an everyday use is I'm pansexual and I'm attracted to people for reasons outside of their gender. And I think one of the best ways to describe that was from Schitt's Creek when David calls it, because his character identifies as pansexual, and he said they talk about wine, and it's I'm interested in the wine, not the label. And that's kind of
Yes, what's inside the bottle as opposed to what. Yeah, I love that.
So
I love
said,
that.
Like I've been known to try a red, I've been known to try a wine, and maybe a little bit of rosé, you know, like he's like, I'm interested in the wine, not the label. And I think that's the best way to describe a pansexual.
Could you imagine if the whole world just like embraced that feeling of like, we don't care what's on the outside. We only are interested in the internal being of a person.
Right.
Oh man, that would be so beautiful.
Ugh. But no, we have to have like legislation against, oh man. It's going to be an interesting fight because anyway.
Yep.
Last year alone was very stressful, but it's like.
I think I told you this, that our pride associations have disinvited the conservative government to participate in anything. I was like, yeah. Because, and they said flat out in the letter that all these pride associations signed, you cannot celebrate with us in June only to discriminate against us in September.
That's fucking right. The thing that I've been saying most online, especially, is when I see stuff like that's like anti whatever, like, oh, Pride Month is coming, and they get all like, and like, it's not for you. Pride Month is not for you. Like, it used to be that, like, we were all like, oh, anybody can come, everybody's accepted, you know, if you're going to be there and, like, be peaceful and just celebrating love.
Yeah, just come celebrate love, yeah.
Come celebrate. But if you have any inkling of, like, hate towards the queer community at any level, you are not welcome. Go the fuck away. We don't want you here.
Seriously, it's like people who don't like coffee going and protesting the opening of a Starbucks. Like, it's not for you.
Yeah. Anyway, was there any other ones that you can think of that you might want to, like, talk about? But,
no.
But those are the ones
like
I have, but I think we've covered.
Nailed it. Yeah. I love that. That was a really good, I learned something.
So
I love being corrected.
The thing that's great about the, also, is the, like, each of those communities have their own little flag, like, they're, and it's a way to be able to express yourself, like, that's, and being seen, being reflected in the community, being, that's the thing, like, when you see a pride flag out in the community, it's like, oh, they recognize me as who I am, and they're not going to, like, discriminate against me. So that's why I go, like, that's why I seek out those places. That's why I feel safer in those places, because I know that I can do whatever I want, but, like, you know, I can be myself.
You can be yourself. Yeah.
And there's a level of, like, not of taking down that wall of, like, protection against my, you know, like, can I be safe here? Can I actually, like, approach somebody, or can I, like, talk about, even just talking about it in that establishment, that I know I'm okay.
Yeah. I love, so many of our businesses here in town have like the pride, not the pride flag, but like the full flag that has like all the different components to it. What's it? I don't know what
it's called. I think it's called I know what it is. Keep going and I'll find it.
Yeah. But so many of our businesses have that on the handle of the door going into the business. There's a little decal. Everyone knows how I say decal.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's the Pride Progress flag.
Thank you. Yeah, so it's on, like, so many businesses here in town, and it says, everyone welcome. And I just love, and it's very noticeable when it's on, not on a business's door as you're walking in.
Yeah.
So, like, that's a choice. That's a choice.
Yeah. Oh. Well, real quick, the side quest that I was going to bring us on is kind of a jolt. It's a different, like, it's a complete U-turn from what we've been talking about. But I just think it's interesting. It's just a little note. So San Diego's real estate market stands out as Property Reserve, Inc., which is owned by the church, acquires the 300-unit Palisade Apartments in UTC for over $200 million at a 4.3% cap rate, the priciest multifamily deal in the region this year. at $677K per unit, this sale highlights San Diego's appeal for investors seeking prime locations. It was built in 2019 near Westfield UTC Mall. Palisades' high sale price reflects its premium location, and this deal shows that San Diego is a great place to invest in real estate. So they bought this high rise, condo, apartments in San Diego with for like two for over $200 million
The
for
church
what?
shed.
Yep. For whatever reason, I don't know, but
Oh, that's so random. Because we were just talking about why doesn't the church get involved in real estate and like do low. I mean, they're not going to do low income housing because
Oh,
let's be
this is
honest, they're
definitely on
about the
point. This
money.
is for the richy people that they're.
Yeah.
But
You're.
it's also under a different company. So if you don't know that it's owned by the
Yeah.
church, then you're like, oh, okay, that's cool. That's somebody, but they're getting revenue off of that. Anyway.
My husband's being very weird. I apologize.
But that's our that was the side quest.
That is a side quest, and that's interesting, and I want to learn more. So keep your eyes on that because,
I will.
yeah, I'd like some
Well, and
updates.
I think that there's more updates on that temple stuff because that's becoming even more a bigger conversation just because it's just about the spires alone, and then there's like other communities that are that there's one in Texas that is having an issue too, that like
Oh,
they're
good. I'd love to hear it.
protesting. Yeah.
I saw a meme that was like, my spire height is a part of my religion. And I
Yeah. And then there's the Arizona Mesa, Arizona temple that has no spire. And does the Carson temple have one?
no,
Yeah.
was not.
See? Like it's just like doesn't have anything to do with that.
No, has like a big light on the top that just, I mean, it's the tallest building in Cardston, but
And
I mean, it's Cardston.
I don't think the Honolulu Temple has one, from what I remember.
I'm trying to think. I remember standing in front of it, but I was with my grandpa. And I don't remember. Sorry, you can hear my husband yelling at our dogs.
Oh, it does. Just kidding. Let's see. Oh, actually, no, it doesn't. The Laie Temple does not have one either.
Really? Weird. I know there's quite a few that don't actually
And
have.
they actually look like more like what you would think of like a tragic like the old that's probably what the more ancient temples looked like what's his name
Yeah, because they didn't have cranes to lift up
the
Moroni 300 feet in the air to place him on his ball or whatever.
Girl, I had an argument with a Mormon about spires. She was saying that
Oh,
like
yeah,
that
you're
it
telling me.
was she was saying that spires did not come from pagans and that And that pagans were younger than Christians have been around longer than pagans. And I was like, girl, what the f
Why, when Christ was born in April, do we celebrate on the pagan holiday in December? Like,
Oh my God. And then, like, I was like, have you heard of obelisks too? Like, come on. Like,
don't know.
that's.
There's this place in Egypt. I don't know if you've heard about it, the pyramids.
Yeah. Oh my God. I felt like I was being punked. I was like, is she for
Seriously?
real?
Like, is she messing with me? You're
Oh.
dusty, is that
Anyway, so there's side quests for listeners, but and we will probably be talking about that again sometime soon.
Probably,
But
yeah.
also just like if you're with the with Pride Month, just if there's something you don't know about with the queer community, then you could research. But there's, I mean, this episode kind of will help. But then there's also it's just like a
Just a
scratching the
brief,
surface, yeah.
just a brief little, just in case you're
A little
curious.
introduction kind of thing.
Yeah, there you go.
Important
Yeah.
to talk about because we did come from such a binary and such a
Yeah.
like. Very rigid structure of like what sexuality is and what gender identity is and expression and everything that it's kind of scary to think not like it's just overwhelming because
It
there's
is.
so much and so
Well,
I just
we had blinders on, and then all of a sudden they were taken off, and we're like, oh, there's like a whole world out here that we had no idea existed. Like,
yeah
I remember in
exactly.
my ward in Medicine Hat, there was a woman who wore pants to church, and the outcry,
Oh
and this was
yeah.
before like the whole pants movement, this was in the early 2000s. Anyways, there was this whole, like, what's she trying to be, a man? Only men wear pants in. And she looked gorgeous. She had a beautiful pantsuit on. She was very elegant looking. But yeah, there was like this outcry of her wearing pants to church. And how dare she try and be manly?
Oh, jeez.
Weird.
Well,
that's
how
we're raised, right?
I mean,
right?
What that comes down to is a lot like what we're talking about with the how homophobic people are. Like, they're actually afraid of femininity. Like,
they hate femininity. Yeah.
And so, like, when a woman is trying to be quote-unquote masculine, they feel like they're being threatened.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Oh, there's a certain individual in my community that's terrified of me because I don't cower to his masculinity. Because I'm like, I'm more manly than you. Shut up.
Heheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheh